Good morning, everybody. Ooh, a bit close. First of all, before we start singing, I'd just like to thank you all who contribute to our food relief, either with the groceries that you bring or with the donations that you give. Our demand is up on last year by 11%, so you know people are still coming in. We see something like, we have something almost approaching 6,000 visits a year from households, and something like 15,000 mouths are fed. So thank you very much on behalf of Food Relief. This morning, we're going to sing an oldie but a goodie. In fact, this was written in 1886. It was written in Sweden, and the author was a member of the Swedish Parliament, and he was coming home from church one day in 1885, and it was that time of year when everything was at its maximum brilliance. Everything was colourful, the birds were singing in the trees, and they'd been to church, and as they were returning, a thunderstorm began to appear on the horizon, so they hurried in for shelter. There were loud claps of thunder and the lightning flashed across the sky. Strong winds swept over the meadows and billowing fields of grain. However, the storm was soon over and the clear sky appeared with a beautiful rainbow. And after reaching home, he opened his window towards the sea. The church bells were playing the tune of a hymn, and so that evening he wrote a poem which translates, "How Great Thou Art." The poem was set to a Swedish folk tune, and in 1907 it was translated into German, and 5 years later a Russian pastor made a Russian adaptation of it. In the early 1920s, there were a couple of people who left their home in England and went to Poland as missionaries. It was there they learned the Russian version of How Great Thou Art, and they rewrote it in English and made the arrangement of the Swedish melody. So that's where it comes from. I think most of us would be familiar with the fact that it was used in the 1959 Billy Graham Crusade, sung beautifully by George Beverly Shea. See if we can sing it just as well. Well, do your best.
Consider all the ones I have to pay.
love to have sung that last note, sorry.
Notes come and go, don't they? Let's join together in responsive call to worship, if you join in the parts in the bold. Come into this sacred space to worship God. Come into this holy place to worship God. Come with holy fear to be given life and made wise. Come, let us worship God. Let the words of our mouths and the whispering of our hearts be according to your will, O God. And we'll join in standing to sing the hymn 186, Stars and Planets Flung in Order. To everyone this morning, welcome to those who are with us online, welcome to those who've braved the slightly chillier morning than probably we're expecting at this time of year, but yes, it's spring. We gather as God's people, God's family, coming from many experiences in life and coming from many different backgrounds. We gather together in our diversity, in our faith and with our doubts, with our questions, our joys and our sadness. And together we join as family to worship God. We remember that we meet here on the lands of the Gunai Kurnai people, for whom God has been known for generation upon generation, and we commit ourselves to that Christian ministry of walking together towards justice and reconciliation. Let's join together in prayer. Let us pray. Like your people of the Exodus, God, we are often a stiff-necked people, but you encourage us to look up, to see possibility and promise. When we prefer our normal and our small habits to your astonishing newness and the enormous wonders of your creation, open our eyes and our ears, but more, open our hearts to the wonder of your loving grace as we worship and learn and pray together, as your Spirit enables us. Amen. The psalm today is woven through the fabric of the service a little. It was part of our call to worship, and here we will read responsively through Psalm 19 and then spend a few moments in reflection on the psalm. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. They have neither speech nor language, and their voices are not heard.
Yet their sound has gone out into all lands, and their words to the ends of the world.
In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun that comes forth as a bridegroom out of his chamber, and rejoices as a champion to run his course. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the simple.
The statutes of the Lord are right and rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure and gives life to the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. By them also is your servant taught, and in keeping them there is great reward. Keep your servant also from presumptuous sins, lest they get dominion over me. So I shall be undefiled and innocent of great offence. Continue in prayer. Your glory, O God, is declared in the holy silence of the heavens and told in the majestic progression of day and night. No speech or word or voice is heard, yet they speak to all the world and their words reach to the ends of the universe. And as we gather in worship, we hope to add our small part in word and melody, with mystery and silent prayer. Our very being is unsatisfied until it finds its satisfaction in you. You, in your grace, give us direction and rich gifts of wisdom. You provide more sweetness than our taste can comprehend, more discernment than we can fathom, more enlightenment than we will ever understand. Still far from this lofty reality, we gather in awe and in much need of your grace. Nothing, O God, that we can do or say or whisper in our hearts is hidden from you, so we bring what is already open to you in the confidence of your grace. Release us from the darkness we find hidden, unknown, in corners of our lives, our faults and presumptions, more than we know, but perhaps less than we sometimes fear, and never beyond the scope of your generous forgiving. Let our lives be radiant with holy awe, delighting in your teaching, receiving insight from your commandments and wisdom from your encouraging. Enliven our desire for your everlasting judgments, to enjoy the sweetness of the honeycomb of your wisdom and ways. We delight in your good news, more valuable than gold and sweeter than anything, that in Christ we are forgiven and renewed. All our thanks be to you, O God. Amen. We're going to join in a hymn with some newish words, "Come and Seek the Ways of Wisdom," picking up that wisdom theme of the psalm. The tune should be well enough known. Two readings today, both New Testament readings, we have some stern words from Jesus, some teaching and directive words, and then following on as we've been through the little letter of James, some more words about teaching and how we should use our tongues. So let's listen for God's word in these two readings. Thanks, Tilly.
Our first reading is from Mark 8, verses 27 to 38. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others, Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If you want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And our second reading is from James chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistake in speaking is perfect and able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large, it takes strong winds to drive them. Yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire! And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine of figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. In this is the word of the Lord.
So may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. The words of the psalm. I think it's true, we are saturated with words. You may have been confronted by words, encouraged by words, challenged, questioned, affirmed, disturbed, enlightened, and more. Or by words. Like me, you may have heard bitter and disturbing words from recently protesters and politicians. You may have heard the words of world leaders speaking about calamity or significant events and either cringed or felt comforted. Words have much power. Words have been used to bring about great good and change. So let's go back and think a little. In Hebrew, the term dabar means both word and deed. Only one word for word and deed. So to say something in Hebrew is to do that. To say the words, I love you, I hate you, I forgive you, are not just ideas. They do things. Now, it's hard to measure exactly what the words do, but whatever it is, it can't be undone. Something within a person is given shape and existence through our speech. Tossed like a stone into the pool of history where the ripples radiate out, travelling far from when they were first cast. Words have power, words cause actions, words create things. In the language of Genesis, in the first book of the Bible, when God said, "Let there be light," there was light. In the poem of Psalm 19 that we listen to today, the heavens tell of the glory of God. Words, day to day, pours forth speech. The night declares, the voice goes out, the words to the ends of the world. And in the language of the psalm, what effect do these words have? What deeds do those words do? The law of the Lord revives the soul. The decrees make wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord enlighten the eyes. These words have effect. They are action. They have power. These words of God. More to be desired are they than gold, sweeter also than honey. And God never seems to weary of speaking such wonderful words to us. And then, in the snippet we've had of words from Jesus today, who is, remember, the Word made flesh, Jesus is about halfway through his ministry, and he says to his disciples that he must suffer and be killed and after 3 days rise again. Words that must come to pass. Must be made real in painful history, word and deed together as one. But Peter opens his mouth to argue with Jesus instead. "No, these words can't be right," he says. "No, there must be a better way. No, it must be a mistake." But Jesus' words to Peter makes it quite clear, no, there's no mistake. He says to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Now, they're strong words. These are mind your tongue words. Words we know can be creative and positive and build good things and bring about good action, but they can also be wrong and destructive and damaging. So turn the pages in your mind then to the words of James, to those stern and colourful words of the imagery of James chapter 3. James is beginning something of a new train of thought, although a lot of it seems to be about how we speak. And he says, "Let not many of you become teachers." Because teachers, of course, trade with words. Teachers communicate and pass on wisdom and instruction with words. And lives are shaped and thinking is developed and attitudes are informed and/or prejudices are passed on. I vividly remember the first time I had to speak on this passage. I was completing the lay preacher's course as a young teacher, and I needed to have a minister review a sermon. So the opportunity fell in the middle of an evening service series that was running, and the passage I was given was this third chapter of James. I began preparation rather nervously. Now let's see, verse 1. "Let not many of you become teachers." Well, that was nearly the end of it for me. It was a mark of stubbornness, or perhaps not listening, but I kept at it. I'd also been in the teaching profession for a few years at that stage, and I had seen something of the wisdom of this warning amongst my peers in schools. It was clear from the position I'd had at that stage as a year level coordinator, there were some teachers who would delight in crushing the fragile spirit of students they didn't like, and others who worked to do just the opposite. And the tools used in this trade were words, cutting sarcasm or encouragement and affirmation. Words. James, it would seem, saw this happening among the teachers of the first and second generation of the First Christian Church. The opening comment about teachers perhaps puts everything that follows then into perspective. Perhaps it's all addressed to false teachers and straightening the church out to understand this. Does the threat of greater judgment against them lie in the background of all these comments about bridling the tongue? Now, my feeling is probably he's got just a broad audience in mind, but it's also a very sobering reminder. A reminder of the responsibility that people in roles like mine have. We ought to take much care with our words. Yes, we all make mistakes, as James points out. We're all sinners, as Paul notes. We all have tongues that will slip sometimes. But it's good to be reminded to take care. So watching your tongue, says James, is something like bridling a horse or controlling the rudder of a boat. Now, the ancient world was well aware of this need for control. Writers often spoke about the mind or reason being like a rudder for the whole person, or like a pilot. Now, our author here, James, is generally speaking about words and communication. And I think probably James wouldn't have liked the fashion of our current media commentators, strident opinion writers of our day. I'm inclined to think that if he were writing this letter now, at the top of his list for those who should watch their tongues, shock jocks would be at the top. How not to use the tongue. If we use speech to attack and abuse, to gossip or malign, then James has us in his sights. Perhaps that's the topic in view, also with the image of fire. James focuses on the act and the effect of the tongue. How many fights start just with a word or two? How many international tensions are fueled over some enthusiastic rhetoric? James' concern is all about how we relate to people and all about our attitudes that underlie those words. He has a spirituality that focuses on the importance of getting these basic things right. And without it, he knows, there will be discord and violence, just as we continue to see in our world. Taming our untrainable tongue is more than learning to be tactful or hold back on expressing what we really think. This is an aspect of who we really are. James is saying, in essence, we are what we communicate. James becomes clearer as we read on into those final verses. Do we bless God and curse people? You see, the problem with cursing people is not so much that, yes, they're made in the image of God, and so in effect cursing God, but it's not just the God aspect that matters. To curse people runs contrary to God's attitude to people and to the good news of Jesus. Like many people in his day, I think James is fairly pessimistic about the chances of people being able to be good communicators. He's realistic enough to say, we've all made mistakes. It's another way of saying we're in process. It's not a final thing. We're not just set. There is room and possibility for improvement. We can bridle the tongue. We are not doomed to always make the same mistakes. The wisdom here is as relevant, I think, today as it was then. And it's good to be reminded that communication, even ours, communication does things to people, the givers and the receivers. Words make things happen, they have real effect. Wisdom is about getting things, all of this, together and seeing how they connect, and about becoming more of a whole person. Advice like this is good, but I'd want to plead there is more here than just a sterile set of sage advice for living a happy, well-adjusted life. For me, these words are part of a much larger reminder that the way you and I speak, the way you and I act, the things our words bring into being or the things our tongues cut down are part of being a signpost that either points to the way of God's kingdom or away from it. This is a reminder that my tongue and yours can point others to or away from the way of Jesus. Our words will bear fruits. They may be signs of hope, of healing, and of heaven. They might start fires of the Spirit that enliven or inspire, or could be destructive that damage or consume. For me, James' words are hopeful. Hopeful that we, as Jesus followers, can be in control of our words, that we can speak and live the things of God's way into being around us. And along with these writers, I'm hopeful that we too might be able to join with the heavens and all creation, telling the glory of God. Amen. We have another one of these newer sets of words for a hymn, Be Doers of the Word of God, not simply those who hear, and a tune that'll be familiar.
Of love, of God, not simply those.
It's often good to have a new set of words. They make us think in different ways, don't they? So now we're going to hear some things from the news sheet and sharing from what's happening in the life of the church. Thanks, John.
Thanks, Ian. A few notices there to highlight. The mission table is on today. And you might notice that on Wednesday there is no church council meeting, but that is incorrect. There is a church council meeting at 2 o'clock on Wednesday the 18th. The church councillors, take notes. Reminder also that community luncheon is on next week, and if you want any details, you need to questions asked Joy, she'll fill you in. At a congregational meeting recently, we had quite a good meeting, and there was a response sheet handed out. So if you want to know what to do with your response sheet, there's a box on the table out there on the communion table next to the office to put it in. There are also some spare forms if you've misplaced yours, which is easy to do. Something else on there is on the notice board. There's a brochure about the International Day of Peace. And lastly, David wants to bring us some news and challenge us about the car boot sale.
Thanks, John. Morning, everybody. So what you're going to see around after our meeting last Wednesday, already here and around town, is a poster. And that's courtesy of Belinda from the childcare, the kindy. So this is going to be a joint arrangement between the kindy and us in the church, which I think is fantastic. So they're really getting in and behind this. So advertising is going to start. In your notices today, there's just a little bit of an incorrect thing there. It's $10 for a car space. There's no charge for a table. So if you need two car space or somebody asks you, then it's $10 a car space. But there's no charge for a table. So just cross that one out. We are going to start the advertising soon. It's already going through on certain social media with the kindy and other places. So that hopefully will get us some people wanting to sell things and some people wanting to buy those things. But to do that, we're going to need a little bit of help and some volunteers for parking and crowd control, because it will probably be a big crowd. Just remember, this is the first fundraiser we've had here for some time, so I think people are just going to flock to this, he says, hopefully. So there's the usual clipboard, which is going to be outside the office on the table. There's some spots there for various things, parking, there's barbecue, there's craft store, there's cake store, and there's general dog's bodies. So if you can help, please. Pop your name down or have a chat to me, and let's really see if we can make this thing work, and maybe it becomes an annual event. Who knows? Oop, thank you for that.
Daddy,
see ya.
We have a special anniversary this week, I think, for the halls. Dawn will be able to tell you.
Now, this is interesting, isn't it? So what's this special anniversary, Dawn? Fess up.
It was the 60th.
And when was that? Last Thursday, 60th wedding anniversary for Bill and Dawn. Oh. And Bill's just got a wry smile on his face. Thank you.
Good.
David, I think I've got your notices here still. That's all right, you can collect them later. Does it matter if your car doesn't have a boot? I've got a hatchback.
It's fine. We have spare boots.
As we think about our responses to God's grace and generosity, we mark our giving, giving for the life and work of the church here in this place. Together in our prayers for others, let's pray. God of all grace, we are thankful for everything that you bless us with and for the identity you give us as part of your family. We mostly like the idea of being a pilgrim people on the way to a promised goal, until that way gets a little rough or risky. And we join you now in your concerns for the vulnerable, for those who are most at risk in the storms of life. And we pray for your presence to guide and your loving grace to calm the winds. We pray for those anxious because the winds of racism and fear are being whipped up again. May your justice and truth show the way. We pray for those fearful that the small boat of their lives will be sunk by the violence of war or the bullying of abusers or the greed of others. May your calming hand reach out with peace. We pray for our national church and for all churches. As the waves of pressing matters, governance and resourcing often shake our faith, may the blessing of your Spirit keep us safe and blown along the way of self-giving love in your mission to all, and keep us from wanting to drop anchor, and help us be responsive to your direction and open to risk and to new possibilities. And then, O God, we pray for those who are close to our hearts, to those who are sick, those troubled, The ones who are lonely or fearful, we name them to you in this time of quiet. Loving God, we know that you notice the storms in our lives and know our needs. Strengthen us and help us to know how to be a part of the answering of our prayers, which we bring you in the name of the one who comes to us with words of correction to help us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And we join in singing the hymn, Lord of Creation, to you be all praise. Strength is God's who made heaven and earth. Our wisdom is the light shed by the Spirit that is within us. Our love is constantly replenished from the abundance of Christ's grace. So let us go with joy and with confidence, praying that our ordinary lives will reflect a little of the extraordinary love of God. Our peace is in the God who cherishes each one of us, and our resilience flows from the Spirit whose gifts are sweeter than honey and come as freely as the wind. The blessing of God be yours today and always. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.